We shall continue our discourse, and we today move back to the essence of that which we have been laboring in for several months. That is the glorious body of Christ, the church.
Yes.
Oh, we praise God this morning for such insight into His Word and understanding of His Word. Amen. That God has spoken and He has given us, amen, the blessed hope, and through that blessed hope we now receive the benefits of those things that He decreed in eternity. Let's go to the second chapter of, third chapter, I should say, of Galatians. We deal with our, we begin, and yes, we're going to go back there again and again and again and again and again. I don't think any child of God will say, I'm tired of reading the third chapter of Galatians. I've read all those verses before. Amen. It doesn't work that way. Every time we read, the Lord is faithful to bless us and give us enlightenment. Amen. For this is not just the written word.
Come on.
This is the living word. Amen. It's alive.
Yes.
Amen. This is the message that was given as an edict from eternity.
That's right.
Amen. And it speaks all through time.
Yes.
And it's alive and it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it's forever enlightening us,
mm-hmm,
and teaching us,
yes,
and bringing us into truth and understanding of those things that God has so graciously given, amen, freely given,
really,
amen, to creatures that are so undeserving. Amen. In addition to that, we had moved down through the second chapter, that is to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 16 and 17, and then we had moved on into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And yes, the handouts that I've given you, amen, the glorious body of Christ, amen, God has directed me from the beginning and inception of this ministry to put everything in writing.
Right.
Amen. And so you will always have before you, amen, some document,
mm-hmm,
that details and document everything. What's wrong with putting it in writing? Amen. If Marathon can do it, we can too. put it in writing. Amen. And that way, it serves, amen, as documentation of those things that we express.
Mm-hmm.
It is a blessing to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus, amen, and receive the clear, concise message of His Word. Amen. We like to know what one another are thinking. Amen. Oh, how much more blessed it is to know the thoughts and the mind and the workings of God. Amen. In fact, that is really, that is the most important information.
That's right.
We as creatures,
yeah,
amen, can be privileged to know.
Yes.
Amen. They say in the news sometimes they want to know what the heartbeat and the thought of Wall Street is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For it can be beneficial to you financially,
mm-hmm,
to know, amen, what the financial market is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it is more important, I said it's more important, amen, to know the mind, the will, the purpose of God. Amen. What is God doing? What is God thinking? What is God planning?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what He is. It's all about Him. It's all about His will. It's all about His ways. Amen. It's all about God's agenda. And I know we have agendas. We all have agendas. Amen. But they're not about anything. Amen. Your agenda can be interrupted. Your agenda can be changed. Amen. Your agenda can become no agenda. Amen. Because there's only one agenda. Amen. That really carries the weight concerning the things that transpire. That is the things of God.
Yes,
all right, Brother Deacon.
Yes,
I want you to let's go to Galatians. And the reason we continue, we go back over the same things over and over and over and over again. In fact, the scriptures support us. In Hebrews, it teaches us that we must take the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard, the things that you already heard. Because if you don't continue to hear them, they'll slip. They'll get away from us.
Get right away.
Amen. And so no one ever graduates from any part of this Bible. Amen. You say, well, I've read Galatians and I know it. I can recite it. And I don't need to hear it again. It doesn't work. Doesn't work that way.
Not
as many times as I've gone through this, each time I go through it, amen, the Lord delivers and gives some more enlightenment. Amen. And this is why these epistles, even though they occupy only a small number of pages, it was designed that way because it is not so much that what is written, amen, but it is what is conveyed. What is conveyed is more than what is written. And because as you read what is written, then God takes what is written and He conveys to our heart and our mind, amen, a plethora of information that gives us understanding and enlightenment, amen. Sometimes you can take one verse. You take one verse. And there are times we've come out here on Sunday morning and we've only dealt with one verse.
That's
sometimes
right.
We didn't get through a whole verse.
Right.
Amen. But the conveyance is there is the living will and the living communication from God that goes spirit to spirit. All right, everybody got the third chapter of Galatians, verse 26. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, read.
Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
All right.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
That's right.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male and female. For ye are all one.
There is only one body.
In Christ
Jesus. And that is in Christ Jesus. That's the one thing I love, amen, about this body. There are no distinctions.
All right.
The only distinction to this body is the head. Oh my God. Hallelujah. What? And that's what makes the body so glorious. Amen. Because it is just a light, delight to behold the head. Amen. All right, read.
And if ye be Christ,
those who are in Christ,
then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to promise.
According to the promise of justification by faith.
By faith.
According to the promise of justification by faith. We are justified by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. This is what it means. You are, if you are Christ, you are in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are there according to the promise. And it is in this sense that he says you are Abraham's seed. You are there according to the promise of justification by and through the faithfulness of Christ. All right, let us go immediately to the second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16 and 17, we were away from this last week, and so we always, in order to bring us back into focus, we will always go back and do a little bit of reiterating. All right? Everybody got the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 16. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh,
mm-hmm.
yet now henceforth know we him no more.
And what Paul is saying there is that our identification with Jesus Christ is not based upon the fact it's not invested in our envisage of him as a human walking upon the earth. And all of this was necessary, for this is God's choice for manifesting Jesus and his death and his suffering as he bore our sins in his body on the cross. It was necessary in every way. But what Paul is saying in this verse is that we don't know him in that sphere. Amen. So we don't have to focus back on how he looked and the things so much that he did while he was on the earth. Our gospel begins at Calvary. Amen. The essence of it, as far as manifestation is concerned, begins at Calvary. Our gospel goes all the way back to eternity and show where God by decree, amen, he established everything that was to be back in eternity, and everything that is happening in time is as a result of it. So our focus is not so much on the earthly Christ and what he accomplished in time, but it is in the heavenly Christ that goes all the way back into the eternal realm. And so when we say Jesus, we're not just focusing on the old and Nazarene, amen, but we are focusing on him as head of the body, the church. He is the one that causes you to be saved this morning. Amen. And so you don't look upon him in a fleshly, a natural way. Yes, he was human, but more than human, he is divine. Amen. He is God incarnate in flesh. Amen. So it is the eternal God, our eternal Savior, that we focus on, who has wrought for us an eternal position in him. And he has established us and placed us into the permanent position as members of the body of Christ. This is what it means to be in the church. Amen. You are a member of his body. Yes, those of us who are here, amen, we are sitting in the sanctuary of the Grace Gospel Church this morning, and we are the organized body. That is the earthly manifestation, amen, of something that is permanent. But God has established and placed you, amen, into an eternal position. Amen. Eternally, God has established you in something that goes beyond the world and beyond the things of the world and beyond the things that are associated with the world.
Yeah.
So this is what he is saying.
Yeah.
We don't know him, as the lowly Nazarene, and we thank God for the testimony of him raising the dead and of him feeding the 5,000 and the 2,000. And we are thankful, we praise God for him as he healed the leper. Amen. But even more than that, oh my God, in eternity he died for your sins. Oh my God, he is the propitiation. He is the eternal sacrifice. He is the basis by which God has chosen you and elected you in eternity. He is the basis by which God has sanctified you. Amen. And called you. Amen. And separated you from sin and his curse. He, amen, is the basis by which you are free and have
Yeah.
Verse 17, read it. We're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
5:17, 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
those who are in Christ,
he is a new creation.
New creatures, new creation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It read the Greek word kritisis,
mm-hmm,
is creation.
Creation.
Amen. And as a new creation, what is he saying?
All things are past.
All the old is past.
Behold all things.
Behold all. Read.
I become things, I become new.
All things are new.
Mm-hmm.
And here, amen,
mm-hmm,
just a quick recap of going back over,
mm-hmm,
it simply is telling you that the essence of that which you have dwelt in before you come to the knowledge,
mm-hmm,
and you're able to see him in the essence of who he is that you move from the old, which is physical,
mm-hmm,
to the new, which is spiritual.
Yes.
Amen. And here, he is distinguishing the old from the new.
Yes.
Amen. And it is the new that counts.
Mm-hmm.
It is the new, those things that are new,
mm-hmm,
those things that are renewed,
yes,
the new, that which,
hallelujah,
is, amen, no longer viewed in the physical vein,
mm-hmm,
but it's in the spiritual vein.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move, I want you to turn, we're just going back over, we were away from this last week.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, amen. Here as we continue to espouse the theme of the glorious body of Christ, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If God's people could ever come to understand, amen, that the church is not that which we look at, and we see denominations,
nope,
and we see organizations.
Nope.
These are, yes, earthly manifestations, representation of those who have been placed in the church, but this is really not the church itself. Amen. Church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Amen. Those whom God designated and called out and put in a special place that transcends, and this is why when I hear someone say that so-and-so did this, and sometimes we as representatives of the body in manifestation do not correctly represent who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And someone will say, well, they're giving the church a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cannot give the church of God a bad name.
Hallelujah.
I think I said that again.
There.
You cannot give the church of God a bad name. You cannot. Now, what you can do is you can point at the flaws of some of those whom God has called out. But remember, amen, the poverty was all that God ever had to work with. Amen. And all have sinned,
mm-hmm,
and come
short
of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Every last one of us. There's something wrong with every last one of us sitting in here this morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Starting with the pastor that's preaching to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. Amen. It is to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That he can give us a glimpse into the essence and the product of this body and the gloriousness of it, that at the end he shall display it as his greatest works.
Yeah.
Amen. And this is in spite of the fact, you see, amen, it won't be about the character so much of those who have been placed in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about, amen, the glorious power and wisdom of God, amen, who take those that are nothing, who take the prayed men, who take sinful creatures, amen, and he takes taken and he changes them from the vile creatures that they are into the essence of the most glorious thing that God has ever made. Amen. So our focus should be on the eternal spiritual entity that God has created in eternity, a glorious, matchless, Lamb of God who has this thing, and we are the counterparts, we are the body, amen, of which He, the hand, is perfect, He is glorious, He is good. Know Him this morning. See, if you started looking at the church and you started looking at people, it's going to discourage you. Amen. That's why I said, don't look at me too long. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, well, I'm a pastor. You know, no. As a pastor, amen, and as pastors, we have a responsibility to walk in certain decorum and do those things, amen, that are reflective of our call.
Yes.
But on any given day,
Lord.
On any given day, the old flesh will rise up.
It could.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And he does rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't focus on personalities.
Mm-hmm.
This is why here at the Grace Gospel Church, there's only one personality. There's only one focus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Our eyes are on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll never be disappointed.
Yes.
You look at me too long, I may do something to disappoint you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee you, as long as you look at Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you'll never be disappointed.
Never.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth chapter, of the 24th verse of Ephesians, well, Brother Deacon, you know, it's hard to start exactly there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go back up a few verses.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, why don't you go back up to the 20th verse and come back down, and someone said, well, we did that last time. Well, we're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read.
Ephesians 4:20.
Mm-hmm.
But ye have not so learned Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that ye have heard him
mm-hmm.
and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust.
There's no question about that. Amen.
No.
Everything, there's nothing concerning the flesh that is to be desired by us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
My flesh, your flesh,
mm-hmm.
flesh is flesh.
Yes.
Amen. It's corroborated, amen, by Peter. He says all flesh is what?
Grass.
As the what? Is grass at the flower of the field that do what?
Stay
they fade
flesh.
Away.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, amen, we're taught to have more confidence in the flesh.
Yes, we are.
Amen. We're taught that there's nothing that is good concerning the flesh. Nothing good comes out of the flesh.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. We are not to have any confidence in it.
Yeah.
We are not to mind it. We're not to follow after it.
Yeah.
Amen. We're not to desire it.
Yeah.
We're not to believe in it. We're not to trust it. Amen. Oh my God. The Bible is telling us, but somebody's not listening, to get away, get out of the flesh. Get away from the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. Deny the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. Otherwise, he's telling us that the flesh is bad news.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody, we pet it, we stroke it, we try to make excuses for it.
Yeah.
Amen. But, amen, there's nothing that you can do because the flesh has been condemned.
Yeah.
In fact, amen, the flesh is the carrier of sin, and sin has been condemned in the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. So we should be seeking to distance ourselves from the flesh. Well, someone said, I live in the flesh. All right, amen. You are correct, amen. But this is what this renewing process here is concerning that we shall deal with. All right, Brother Deacon.
All right.
Everybody, keep reading.
All right. Verse 23 of the fourth of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
To be renewed. Be renewed.
Yeah.
Now, many teach that this is saying that we take off our flesh, and by us being saved, we put on that which is new in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
This is not exchanging old flesh for new flesh.
No.
Hear me now. This is not speaking of turning in one type of flesh for another.
Nope.
As long as you said flesh,
yeah,
you are in the midst of something that's going to give you a problem.
Yeah.
We will always have problems in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as perfect flesh.
Mm-mm.
There's no such thing as good flesh.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
So what is this conveying to us?
Mm-hmm.
Here, as we look at this verse 23, and we hear the Grace Gospel Church, we preach and teach from the Greek New Testament,
mm-hmm,
and from the manuscripts, so that we can get every advantage of the conveyance.
Mm-hmm.
From the Greek text, and to be renewed,
mm-hmm,
in the spirit of your mind. The verses that we have read in verse 22, Paul had admonished him to put off the old man, denoting the humanly depraved one,
mm-hmm,
who is continuously corrupted by deceitful lusts.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 23, his instructions are to be renewed,
mm-hmm,
in the spirit of one's mind.
Yes.
Observe here, we have the Greek word translated renewed. Basically, it literally means to do up.
All right.
To renew, to make new again, and to renovate.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This infinitive is in the present tense and speaks of the renewing process as it brings about a continuous progression through our life span. Amen. Follow me now. It is in the passive voice. Renewing is not something you do.
All right.
Renewing is something that is done to you. Amen. We must understand that. Amen. We had in the previous verses dealt with the fact concerning in the 17th verse being a new creation, that the new creation, the entities of who we are in Christ, does not speak to reformation. And of course, conduct and reformation is so very, 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 very important.
Mm-hmm.
It is ultimately important.
Mm-hmm.
Our conduct, amen, but that is not the true indicator of what the new creation is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It is a move from a physical entity into a spiritual entity. Amen. So it goes beyond reformation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It, amen, is the essence of realizing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So he is speaking to our minds,
mm-hmm,
to dwell on the essence of who we spiritually are.
Oh.
Amen. Not that we have left these bodies, but we no longer prioritize these bodies. Amen. Our priority is on the essence of whom God has made us to be in Christ. Amen. So it is a matter of the arresting of your minds, so that our mindset will focus on who He has eternally called us to be.
Yeah.
Amen. And we focus on the essence of who He is, in essence, he is a new creation, a spiritual entity that was created by God in eternity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some of us say, well, we have to think about ourselves and where we are. Yes. But before you focus on the whole rest, in order to get some encouragement, amen, cast your affections and your thoughts on the essence of the new man. I passed out some time ago to you. I don't know how many read this on the website. Eternal relationship with God. That's where your living begins. Of the thinking concerning life begins. Not just who you are. Because who we are is not the most important thing. The most important thing is who we are in relationship to God. Not who we are. Because who we are, it is documented. We are the praise, sinful creatures. But it is who we are in Christ. Who are we in Christ? We are those who have been called out and placed into something futuristically that is going to be manifested, that is going to be the greatest of all of God's creations.
Greatest.
And this is what Paul says in the third chapter of Colossians. He said, if you be risen with Christ, for those who are risen in Christ, seek the things that are above. Concentrate on the things that are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, speaking to the position of Christ as head of the church. And I know it is popular in the churches today to preach on horizontal matters, on worldly matters. Amen. I'm sure they thought that way in 1752. If one went to a certain church, whatever the politics of that day was so very important to them. The only thing that matters to those that live right now, to those that lived in 1752, is their eternal relationship to God. The politics of that day doesn't even matter to them anymore.
No way. Amen.
So what is the subject matter? Should it be what's going on in Iraq? Is what's going on in right important? Yes, in this place. If the Lord tarries another 100 years, would it matter what's happening today, the 27th of June, in any aspect outside of Christ? It won't matter. You see, the word of God is speaking to us, but we're not listening. Now, this doesn't mean that you close your mind and you don't listen to the news and so forth and so on. And of course, I've become a little lax to listen to the news. And it's not that basically I don't think it's important. Amen. But priority, my time basically, and this is what God has led me. And basically, I keep my head into the essence of where God is working. Where God has eternally worked. Amen. I'll stop and I'll go on the internet and I'll look at some of the news, but not all of it. You know, someone said, didn't you know such and such had happened? You know, basically, it's good to know, but it's not critical for me to know it. But it's critical for me to know this.
Yes, indeed.
It's good. We should be well-rounded citizens. And the things that we can participate in that are wholesome, that are good, that have purpose, by all means, do it. But you know what? That doesn't become the priority of your life.
All right.
For that same passage in Colossians, he's saying, do what? He says, set your affections or prioritize what?
On things above.
The things above.
Nice.
And just so anyone won't get any, won't be able to. All right, the part here, it has the Greek negative particle me, which is translated not. He said, the things above, not on the things on the earth. What are you saying? Saying prioritize the things above, not the things below. Deal with them. Be a part of that which is good. Amen. But don't let that be your, amen, prioritized function in living.
Amen.
In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul speaks about us walking worthy of our vocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what was he talking about? Their professions? No. What is your vocation? That's the main function of your life.
All right.
Somebody say, well, hey, that then I know what that is. That's my job. That's where that's my job. That's where I get my paycheck each week. That's my main. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it is important to your everyday function, but it's not the most important function of your life. It is not. It is not. And this is why every once in a while the Lord shakes things up.
It does.
To let us know that that is not the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That job can... our jobs. Thank God that... just about everybody in here who desires to be, they're employed.
Mm-hmm.
Not retired, amen. They're employed. That's good. That's good. We thank God for that's the way it ought to be.
Yes.
But don't you ever, like, you got a profession and so forth and so on. You've studied hard. You worked hard. Amen. And I said to all the young people, go out and get everything that you can and so forth and so on. But don't you ever put that at the center of your life. Mm-hmm. Don't you put no profession at the center of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you put anything at the center of your life.
Hallelujah.
Other than Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because anything that we have, amen, we can lose it.
Yeah.
It can dissipate. You say, oh, no, don't tell me that, Pastor, about my job. That job can disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever, amen, endure yourself to anything on this earth that you can't lose except Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I was watching the... I'm watching a movie. So, oh, Pastor watching a movie? Yeah, I thought watching a movie. The kids, the grandkids, they went out and got a movie not a DVD. It was a
cassette.
And it was called The Pianist. And this guy wrote his life story. And in the early part of the 20th century, in 1927, 28, 29, and 30, there were very prosperous Jews in Germany, and they were the elite. And in this particular case, the setting was in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And they were prosperous. Then Adolf Hitler came to power.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, that was the devil's working.
Mm-hmm.
The devil can't do anything that God, if it's not, you know what causes a thing to happen or not happen?
Right.
The decree of God.
Amen.
No matter how evil that thing is, it only functions according to the permission of the permissiveness of the decree.
That's right.
If the decree permits it, it happens. If God's decree does not permit it, it doesn't happen. That's why he only lasted 12 years. He was telling the people, this is Adolf Hitler, that what he was building up was going to last 1,000 years. It barely survived a decade. It was by decree. But anyway, it was a true story. And it came to power. And we all know the story of the Holocaust and all of the unfortunate things that happened, amen, in that. And I'm just focusing on this one particular story and this family. They had money, they had everything, and then all of a sudden, it was taken away from them. They said, well, surely, some of them felt, surely they will exempt us. One guy was a doctor, a surgeon. He said, surely they wouldn't kill a skilled surgeon. But see, it had been put in his mind, he's a Jewism, he doesn't deserve to live. And they lost everything that they had. And some of them were crying out saying, there is no God. And I dare say that in America,
come on.
If such occurs, there will be some of God's people who will be questioning whether there is a God, because their assessment of God is based upon their job and their profession and their possessions. Oh, hallelujah. He means more to me than material decay. Amen. Things, amen, that are going to dissipate.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
He means more to me than perishable commodities. That whether I'm poor, or whether I'm rich, or whether I have, or whether I don't have, or whether I'm sick, or whether I'm in health, amen, that is not my assessment of God, amen. He's good when I'm broke, he's good when my body's racking with pain. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Why? Because my assessment of God is not based upon the horizontal things that are around me. My assessment of him goes all the way back to eternity and the essence of that glorious position in Christ Jesus that he has reserved for me. Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
This is not the kind of preaching you're getting, because that's not the way to pack the house.
Glory to God.
But many, they're rushing to places in the mega churches, and they're sitting down taking on 5 ways how to get out of debt. How to get your health and keep it. And so the assessment of God is based upon this life.
All right, come on now, come on.
And what is being conveyed to us is that it's not about this life. Do what you can, while you can, while you're here. But don't put no stock on what's going down now.
Amen.
What if something similar to that happened in this country? I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about those who say they love Jesus. How would you react if one day you woke up and you no longer had your house? You no longer had any money. You no longer had a job. How would you react? What would be your assessment of God? Because we rate God and we assess God based on things.
Come on here.
I think of the Apostle Paul. Because most of the prosperity ministers, they're always talking about Abraham.
Yes.
Apostle Paul, by his own testimony, he was a he was a rising star in the Sanhedrin court. For he says that I profited more than many of my peers. I'm just paraphrasing it.
That's right.
And he was on his way to the top. But after his prearranged, pre-designed, decreed encounterment with God, Saul disappeared, and Paul emerged. And while Saul was rich, Paul was poor. While Saul was healthy, Paul was sickly. And one would think, surely this man, Apostle Paul, whom God had given the revelation of the mystery, the word of God, the majority of, even if you call the New Testament the essence of from Matthew through to Revelation, the majority of those books are written by Paul. So, one would think, certainly, God would have blessed this man. But he was the brokest. One time he testified, he said, we're hungry and naked even to this hour. In another place, he was writing concerning the things that he suffered. He was talking, he was saying, the stripes, the abandonment and desertion, the condemnation of my countrymen, and he says, in fastings. And when we read that in Corinthians, we're thinking about a fast of volition. You read that word. You exegete that verse.
That's right.
Paul, when he said, in fastings, he wasn't talking about the abstinence of food volitionally. Paul said, sometimes I went hungry. Because I didn't have money for food. Sure did this man, Apostle Paul, that God would have protected him.
Come on with it.
One time he's shipwrecked.
Come on with it.
Another time he's beat with 40 stripes.
Yes.
Another time he's taken outside of Lystra and stoned. Left for dead.
Yes.
In prison. In fact, his best epistles were written from prison. And he suffered all the way in to the essence of the arms of God in eternity, for his life was ended by Nero's chopping block. He was executed. Wouldn't make a good testimony, would it? Because we used to say, oh, I was in this problem, and just in the nick of time, God came and he delivered me. And everybody go, woo!
Preach it, Father.
At the end of Paul's life, he writes to Timothy, he says, I fought a good fight. I won my course. What course are you talking about? That which God has laid out for me. And he said, now I'm ready to be offered. One time they were trying to dissuade Paul from going up to Jerusalem and saying, Paul, Amen. If you do, they are going to persecute you. Amen. You know what they've done before. This is going to be worse. And Paul said, why trouble me? Why hurt me, Lord? And why, amen, are you trying to stop me from doing what God has directed me to do? He said, listen, not only am I willing to suffer for him, I'm willing to die for him. How many of us can say, I'm willing to die for it? No, you won't. If your focus is on the things of this life. Now hear me, I always have to come back, and give me about 5 minutes here. I always have to come back and say this, because somebody run out here and said, the pastor said the things around us is not important. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the things around us are not as important as the eternal things of God. And this is what this mindset is. About renewing our minds. It is our minds. We can live, we live in the world, but our mindsets don't have to be of the world.
Alright. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, if it's not true, let's close the book.
Yeah.
And let's get up and go for it tomorrow. Let's eat, drink, be merry, and tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is there an eternal basis that transcends the grave? And transcends this life. Is there an eternal place in God that he has reserved for you in eternity? Is it true? Or is it a fallacy? Is it something that someone imagined and just wrote in a book? Or is it true? I met a man a few weeks ago, 83 years old. Now listen to this. And this is why we can't sit here and figure out God. 83-year-old atheist. God has allowed someone who doesn't even believe in him and want no part of him to live 83 years. And he's still walking around. Huh? And how many Christians that we know of who love the Lord that died at early age of cancer. Huh? Rationale, reasonableness on a human basis doesn't make much sense, does it? Huh? No, it doesn't make, it does. You cannot rationale. There is no human rationale to this. Not from a human basis. Someone said, why? Why do the good die young? And why can the evil live into old age? Why? So here we're questioning the decrees of God as to why something is happening. But this is what preaching and teaching is all about. The renewing of our minds.
Yes, yes.
That's the basis. So when you come to church and when you're into Bible study, it's not about finding a way to better your life. There's some good seminars that you can go to. And I'm not saying don't go to them. But you keep that over there.
Over there. Hallelujah.
Don't take the get rich schemes. don't bring that stuff into the church. And don't ever let anybody tell you that there's a way that you can get your health and keep it. You as a child of God and no one else is immune from sickness. And if it's God's decree, he can take a 12-year-old out, a 22-year-old, a 32-year-old person that loves the Lord. And if it's by the God's decree that he takes him on to be with him earlier, that's the way it is. And is God good in doing that? Yes.
Really?
Is God unjust to let some old fool live to be 83 years old and he's walking around bragging that there's no God? Why wouldn't God just strike him down? It's not God's decree. You see, in the end, and I'll take this up next week, in the end, everything is designed to the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
But in the end, that which he has brought to pass was brought out of depravity. So he allows depravity to express itself, and he has decreed it so we can see just how bad and the worst thing that a person could have done, and the first thing that people can do, amen, is an expression of just how bad depravity is. And it works to the end that if this, amen, is what God has done, that which has the potential to do, amen, the most awful evil things, that this is what God has drawn from and placed into his body, amen.